In the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, we hear something we don't hear in any other passage in Scripture, the idea of rebaptism. The passage says that Paul asked the believers in Ephesus if they have received the Holy Spirit in baptism, and they say no. Paul explains that the baptism of John was baptism of repentance, but the baptism into Jesus is baptism into the Holy Spirit, and so he rebaptizes them. The key element for Paul was the living presence of God in the life of the believers. Paul's first question to the believers is not, "How were you baptized?" His first question is whether they have received the Holy Spirit. Do they live their lives aware of, open to, filled with, and guided by the Spirit of God? That constitutes the key question of this passage, a question worth directing to ourselves and our own faith community today. Regardless of where we were baptized, how is our life in the Spirit now? How are we living out our baptism now? When I was 15 years old, I had a life-changing experience. I had been dutifully raised in the Roman Catholic Church, went to Mass every single day as the way we began school in my Catholic grade school. I led the folk group at church as a teen, but it wasn't personal to me in many ways. I didn't know what the presence of God felt like. That is, until I became part of the charismatic movement that was sweeping the church in the early 1970s. I would go to the prayer meetings and truly feel the presence of the Spirit. It was a heady time, filled with lots of joy, lots of praise of God, and prayer for one another in the community. It was a whole new way of experiencing church. The Pentecostal movement in the Catholic Church actually has its roots in the Episcopal Church. On April 3, 1960, the charismatic movement went public when Father Dennis Bennett, an Episcopal priest, announced to his Van Nuys, California congregation that he had spoken in tongues. The movement quickly grew, and by 1966, following Vatican II, began to grow in the Catholic Church. While these experiences in the Holy Spirit can be important in the life of an individual and serve as a touch point to remember the power of the Spirit, they're not places to stay. Ultimately, our life in Christ is not just about any particular event or events that might take in place in the early or latter days of our faith. Those moments, if and when they happen, are gifts from God to be treasured, but they constitute starting points, not ending points. One crucial aspect of baptism is not what happens when we're baptized, but what happens after we're baptized. Today, at the 10 o'clock service, we were to baptize Forrest Thomas O'Neill, but I just got a call that the poor little guy has a fever, so we will be postponing that. And while we mostly focus on the aspect of water at a baptism, there's another ritual in baptism. I take the holy chrism oil, the oil used over the centuries to anoint kings and priests, and I mark the sign of the cross on the person's forehead, and I say, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit and marks as Christ's own forever." In doing so, we are calling upon the Holy Spirit to empower those in baptism to live the life in the power of the Spirit as priest, as prophet, and king. Today, as we celebrate the feast of the baptism of Jesus, it is one of the Sundays during the year that the church specifically invites us to offer baptism. And so we're delighted at the feast of Jesus' baptism to have welcomed Forrest into the family of the body of Christ, the church. We'll have to wait till later. It would behoove us, though, to remember that Forrest's baptism, like Jesus' baptism by John in the River Jordan, is simply the beginning of his life in the Spirit and the beginning of ministry. While the experience of the Holy Spirit in the words revealed to Jesus as he came out of the water, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased," as we heard in the Gospel today. That must have been a very powerful experience for Jesus, but he did not stay in that place. In the very next verse of Mark's Gospel, had we read them today, we would have heard that the Holy Spirit immediately drove Jesus out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Immediately from this high point of a major God experience, Jesus is driven out by the Spirit into the desert, an inhospitable place filled with all sorts of dangers, temptations, and the unknown. Have you ever felt like this? You've had some peak experience in your life, only to have it followed up by an unknown place, a place filled with dangers, that desert place. I certainly know that I have. So what I've taken from this passage of Acts today is that while the experience of God, up close and personal, can inspire us and carry us when they happen, it is not the place to stay or to dwell in. These peak experiences are often given to us to prepare us for a tough place that is to follow, following in the transformation of our lives. One transformed life leads to the transformation of another life, which leads to the transformation of still others, all centered on the question, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers? And how are you continuing to live in the power of the Spirit today? These God moments, like the baptism that we would have had today, are given to us to remind us that God is with us when we move into these desert places of our lives. Our baptism is not about replicating peak experiences, but living our lives in the Holy Spirit, who is constantly calling us to do more, to be more, to a new way, to a life, to live out that life that the Spirit can bring and transform us and others into the lives of God.